Welcome to the original Italian-American podcast, Keeping It Real with Frankie D, and the home of the Italian-American moment at ItalianAmericanLife.com. We have a very interesting episode today. We will be discussing Italian-America and Italian-American issues with the Queen and the court of the Columbus Parade in Chicago. So let's meet each girl and one by one, and I have a few questions for each, and then we'll get started. So let's start with the Queen, Ava Salvaggi. Ava, welcome to the show.
Hello, it is so great to be here. Thank you for having all of us.
It's my pleasure, and congratulations to you and all the girls. That's quite an honor. Tell us, so how old are you? What's your age?
I'm 22, will be 23 soon, actually. And I just graduated from college.
And what are you doing now?
I am now working at an ad agency in the city where I am an associate art director, which I am loving.
Is this what you studied in college?
Yes, I went to Miami University, studied graphic design and marketing.
Wow. Okay, is that kind of unusual that you're actually doing what you studied?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. Where is the family from in Italy?
So my dad's side is from Bari and my mom's side's from Foggia, but a lot of my family have moved elsewhere in Italy. A lot of them now live in Rome.
Okay. And have you ever been to Italy?
Yes, I have a lot when I was younger. And then I recently just went again, like 2 years ago, for a study abroad. And I got to see my family. So it was a full trip, like amazing trip for me.
How long was the courses?
I was there for 3 weeks for school, but I stayed an extra week for my family to be with them. So I was there for a full month.
Oh, that's great. You like Italy? You enjoyed it?
Yes, I was mainly in Northern Italy. I studied in Bologna and Urbino, but I got to see my family in Rome. I got to go to Milan. I've never been really much anywhere else besides like Rome and Bari, where my family are from. So that was really cool to go explore Italy for the first time.
Wow, that's amazing. Was it at the University of Bologna? Is that where the classes took place, or?
Some of the classes were there as well, but they were like through Miami, so like our school, so it wasn't like actually like Italian classes. Unfortunately, I wish it was, but we got to explore Bologna and Urbino, and especially Urbino is a very like college student town, so that was really cool to be around a bunch of students as well.
Well, that's great, and University of Bologna is the oldest university in the world.
Yes, very true.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Olivia Greco.
How are you?
Hi, Olivia. Thanks for being here. What is your age?
I'm 21.
21, and you go to school?
Yes, I am at DePaul University downtown.
Okay, gotcha. And where's the family from in Italy?
My dad's side is from Naples and Sicily, and my mom's side is from Calabria.
Okay. Have you ever been to Italy?
I have. I haven't been since 2012, so I was a little younger. But we spent 2 weeks, and we started at the top and went all the way down to the bottom. And then we spent a week in Sicily with my family on their farm in Rafo. And that was so much fun, and I would love to go back.
Beautiful. And what are you studying at school?
I'm an English major with a concentration in historical literature.
Any ideas what you want to do with that, or?
I would like to either work at a museum archive, or I'm going to Ireland in a couple of months for a study abroad program. I'll be there for 5 months, and hopefully I'll figure out if I want to work in a museum, be a curator for a museum, or do sort of the writing that would go along with the artifacts, and just sort of be into either historical literature or deal with the historical artifacts.
Wow. Okay. That's very interesting. Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Next, we have Mariella Vestuto Langford.
Mariella Vestuto Langford. Yes. Hello.
Hello. And how old are you?
I am 20.
20. So you're in college.
Yes, I am. I'm at Benedictine University.
Okay. Studying?
I'm double majoring in graphic design and business.
Okay, very good. Where is your family from in Italy?
So my mom's dad, my maternal grandfather's parents from Sinertia. So both of my dad, my grandfather's parents were born and raised there. And then they came here in like Chicago suburbs. And then that's where my mom's dad was born. And yeah, he was raised in the Chicago suburbs, but they came from Sinertia, and that's where they both were, both of his parents in Sinertia.
Okay. And have you ever been to Italy?
I wish. I would love to go, but no.
Yeah, no study abroad programs at your school?
I mean, not in Italy, no. Sadly, no.
Okay. I actually, long time ago, was very fortunate to study in Rome through Loyola University. They have their own campus there. And I spent 5 months, and it is really a great experience. It truly is. If you have the opportunity, take it. It really is something. And I'm going back, 37 years ago.
Yay.
37 years ago, but it was great. It was truly great. Okay. Thank you. And last, but not least, we have Nicole Ruggiero.
Yes. Hi.
Oh, hi. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. What is your age?
So I'm 24.
24. Okay. And you, I'm assuming, are not in school.
No, I finished 2 years ago.
Okay. So where'd you go?
I went to U of I in Urbana-Champaign. I studied Italian as my major, and then I minored in Spanish linguistics and teaching English as a second language.
So I'm gonna assume you're teaching something.
I'm teaching English as a second language right now.
Okay.
Yeah, not quite my major, but close enough.
Well, did you think about being an Italian teacher? Is that why you majored in that?
I thought about it, but I do think that there's not really a lot of opportunities anymore. I think everyone will agree that just not a lot of people speak Italian anymore. It's not really a focus right now.
There's really? More than you think.
Yeah.
Honest to God, let me say this. There's more than it seems on the surface. There's actually kind of a shortage of Italian teachers.
And,
I mean, I'm on the school board of the local high school, public high school where I live. It's called Ridgewood High School. We have a 4-year Italian program, couple teachers, Italian National Honor Society, AP Italian. Every other year they go to Italy. They do Italian club. And it's not just us. I mean, there's a grammar school in the neighborhood here that has Italian, first grade through eighth grade. Believe it or not, you know, I get it. There's not a ton of jobs there, but I don't want people to be discouraged because there really are jobs. There's a lot of schools, a lot of grammar schools, high schools that are looking for Italian teachers. So
that's good to know. I have to definitely look for them.
Yeah. Okay. And where's your family from in Italy?
So my parents are from Bari. So they moved here.
Okay. Are they from the city of Bari or like close?
They're both from Molodi Bari, just a little bit south of Bari.
Okay. Okay. That's great. So you've been to Italy, I'm assuming?
Yeah. I used to go every year, but, and then I did study abroad, but you know, cut short for COVID.
Did you study in Italy?
I did. I was in Pavia at the University of Pavia for, you know, a few weeks and then COVID. So.
Okay. All right. Well, no, that's great. Answer me. So in the contest, the Columbus Queen contest, there's a certain percentage Italian that you have to be, what is that percentage? Anyone know?
To be honest, I don't know if there was a specific percentage. Oh, you just have to have be of Italian descent.
Oh, it just says that you just have to be of.
Yes.
Okay. So it's okay. I thought there was, I don't know, maybe years ago there was like a certain number. Maybe it's just that sentence now. Okay.
There it could have been probably.
Yeah. Just curious about that. Okay. So I think it'd be great since we have this tremendous panel, to talk about a little bit of like what's going on today. So your day today is different than my day in 1987. Okay. Your day is filled with influencers, if that's what they call them, and social media and videos and TikTok. And it's just, and it's flooded with it. So where I'm going with this is that does affect our Italian America, our Italian Americans. I mean, I think you all would agree. So there seems to be a lot of, call it material, in the sense of influencing the public, the American public, and the young Italian American, because I mean, I have to assume if people are called influencers, it's because they influence, and there's a lot of these kind of people. So there's a major thing happening that I see, and it's a lot of like interviews, videos, little TikTok things, and it's always kind of like putting us in a, well, an obsession for, you know, TV characters that are a certain type. You know, your fictitious mobster, Tony Soprano. And then, you know, there's this obsession with deli meats, like, you know, Capocollo, that we will say in a kind of a stupid way, and everybody, you know, just has fun with it. And, you know, just a lot of things going down this path. I think you all understand where I'm going with this. What are your thoughts on it? If you have any, I mean, one thing with this, please be honest. So if you have thoughts about it, you don't think about it, you think it's good, you think it's bad, you think it's funny, you know, tell the truth. So anybody like to start us out?
I can say something real quick. I have seen a bunch of those TikToks and Instagram posts of people trying to pronounce certain things. And like, for me, that's pretty funny because it's so wrong, but also like it hurts watching people do that because it's like, I know how it's supposed to be pronounced, and watching someone else do that wrong is like very cringy. But there's a bunch of different kinds of Italian American TikToks out there, I think. And for me, I've been getting more of like the educational kind of TikToks. And I think it depends on, like, obviously, you know, what you're talking about around your phone and what your phone picks up and like what you're looking up yourself. But for me, like, I've gotten a lot more of like the informational aspects of when you're traveling to Italy, like these are the do's and don'ts, or like what you say to a waiter, how you should act at a restaurant, or how you should eat your pizza. Like, there's all these like little things that I'm seeing, but there is definitely that side of like the negative and stereotypical side of Italian Americans. And, but I personally haven't gotten that much on my feed.
Well, the thing, you know, that I wonder is, we may think it's negative, we may not, but we're the ones doing it. So our own people are doing this. I don't think they're doing it because it's negative. I kind of think they're doing it because there's this tremendous desire for likes and followers. Apparently likes and followers equal, and maybe it's money, I guess. Like I said, I'm kind of old and I really don't understand all of it, but I think if you get to a certain level, you do make money. And so it's kind of like they're going for that, and it doesn't matter if it's in a bad light. What do they think about this?
I think I could speak a little bit on it as well. I agree with Ava. I do think there's just some videos that, you know, like we'll find disrespectful. I will say there's a few videos like pronunciation, right? Where, you know, it's surprising, even from, you know, Italian Americans, you'll hear them saying something, pronouncing something. And then for me, at least, you know, someone might say, like gabagool, for example, right? For me personally, that's not the Italian I grew up with. I grew up with standard Italian, and one dialect. So when I hear, you know, Italian Americans who maybe don't speak a lick of Italian just saying gabagool and capicola and all that good stuff, you know, my Italian family asked me, is this really what Americans do? Is this, are these really Italian Americans? I have to say, you know, not all of them. I'm sorry. Like, so for the Italian family, at least, and for me too, growing up more Italian, feel just a little bit disrespected, but I do sometimes think it's funny. And then I will say as well, going back to what Ava said, there are a lot of good educational videos. I know for me, I get a lot of like slang videos. So they'll translate from American slang into Italian slang, which here, you don't really see that, right? Where there's not really a lot of people who speak that same level of Italian here. So it's good, at least, you know, if I'm going to Italy, I can kind of blend in with my age group. They can still tell that we're American, but at least we have something. And they can say, oh, well, you know, something. You know, you're really trying to integrate yourself into that culture. So I like TikTok for that aspect.
Hey, thank you. Olivia, Mariel, any thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, sure. I think that TikTok is like a very informational website, as well as we were actually talking about this in one of my classes today, on how TikTok is a platform that you can just kind of say whatever you would like, whether it be true or factual or not really true at all. And for me, coming from like a historical standpoint, which is, you know, what I talk about a lot in school, there's a lot of like misrepresentation on Italian Americans and their start coming to America. So I think the beginning of the Italian American is sort of where people get these negative stereotypes, or don't see their hardships as difficult as, like, say, another minority group who came around at the same time. So I think that's something that is not highlighted as much as it should on TikTok. And, you know, we have, you know, around the same time we had the Irish and the Chinese, who have different sections in Chicago, as well as the Italians. And, you know, we all have the same struggles coming to America, trying to, you know, sort of blend into the melting pot. But it always seems like Italians are always a little bit away from that. They're like on the outskirts, and they're not as seen as much of a minority with difficulties coming to America, which I actually have, you know, seen TikToks where they've talked about all the struggles of coming to America, but then the Italians weren't mentioned. So it's very interesting to, you can see very positives on TikTok and social media, but there's also negatives of being able to speak freely with no evidence to back up your claim.
Well, thank you. Yes. Mariel?
Yeah. So I think with social media, the tricky thing, like building off what Ava said, there are educational ones, and those are good because they like bring awareness to a culture that some people don't know about. But the other thing too is I feel like a lot of the TikToks or YouTube shorts or whatever sort of social media you're using that are funny or humor based will lean towards stereotypes. And stereotypes are a tricky thing because, I mean, I'm not going to say that stereotypes are always wrong, because sometimes you'll see things about like Italians love their food, Italians love their family. And I think we can agree we love family meals. We love doing that. That's part of who we are. But then there's the stereotypes that will say things that aren't always true, or will say things about one certain person that doesn't go for everyone. And that's kind of the tricky thing, is people who are watching social media are going to go, this is true and this is not, because they may not be aware of the culture in the way that we are. And so stereotypes can be good, but they can be bad. And I feel like a lot of social media leans to that.
No, absolutely. And I very good points on everybody, from everyone. That's the thing. That's it in a nutshell. The, you know, it's, and that's what kind of sometimes kills me. It's like our own people, and they'll act stupid. Let's just be honest. They just act stupid and say stupid things. And everything's this obsession with like a TV show. And that's the problem, is that's what people think of us, like the majority. Mm-hmm. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And I feel like Italian America is going that way. And when you look at today and you say it's 2024, Italian Americans and Italy, the separation's getting bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger. And I know, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. And it's kind of a shame, because what we come from, our origin of culture and heritage and contributions to the world, is probably far better, far more than any group known to mankind. And yet we've been reduced to Tony Soprano and salami. And it's just, it's wrong. It really is wrong. And the thing that really is scary is our leaders, I'm putting quotation marks, our leaders in the United States of the Italian American community, they perpetuate this because they go along with this. And I just don't understand it. Now, you know, I'm a fun-loving Italian-American guy just like the next, but there's almost like a time and a place, and it's too much on that. And we don't know anything, the majority don't know anything beyond that. And Italian-American young people think that that's it, you know? Give me a piece of salami and I'll watch a rerun of Tony Soprano, I'm good to go. And it's like, are you kidding me here? And that's what I mean, like, you know, what we really come from has nothing to do with that. There was a study done from the Italic Institute of America. In fact, I want all you girls to go on their site, which is italic.org, I-T-A-L-I-C. And do me a favor, sign up for their blog. Is that how you say it, blog? Mm-hmm. Blog, thank you. Sign up for the blog, because I get emails from them. This is some of the most intelligent people that give us, it's a history lesson. It's a lesson every time, okay? There are other groups that show different things. And really, you can appreciate the contributions of classic Rome to modern times, okay? I feel like we need to get other information, you know, not just, you know, a couple of goofs sitting at a table and talking just jibber jabber crap. And that's Italian America, because it's not. And I can say that very confidently because I am older and I've lived it, and it's not, it really isn't. And oh, so this Italic Institute did a study, the movie, The Godfather, 1972. Classic movie, considered one of the greatest movies of all time. But after that movie, in the movies, Italians are seen as criminals and buffoons like 90% of the time. That's not good, okay? They also did a study of how many of Italian Americans are actually criminals. I mean, it seems to be this stereotype that every time there's a talk, it's like, you know, we laugh. It's like 0.0012. So I ask you, is that what we're known for, being criminals? I don't think so. So, you know, there's just a lot of things. It's unfortunate. There was a situation a year ago. I don't know if you're familiar. Football player, professional. Anybody know of this Tommy DeVito? Quarterback.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so beautiful story. You know, the underdog guy, local guy, makes the team, lives real close to the team in Jersey. And I don't even know for sure, but I think, you know, the players in front of him, you know, one guy got hurt, the other guy got hurt, and all of a sudden he's in the game. And he does well. He does really well. And that's great. And that's a source of pride, and we're for him. Hell, when I was a kid, I always rooted for the Italian players. Always. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So we took that great thing, but then we had to have people make money on it, right? So now we're all of a sudden, everything is Tommy Cutlets, 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 Cutlets. We got t-shirts. We got this. Okay. Then we got his agent. Okay. So now we have his agent. So now the agent found some fame from his client. So he's on the sidelines wearing a fedora and a pinstripe suit.
And a pinky ring.
And a pinky ring. Now, I'm really doubting that his wardrobe consists of those things in 2020 at the time three. So he used this fame, this national fame, to dress like a gangster. Now, I got to tell you something. I'd have more respect if he was an actual gangster, because then he actually did it and he took the chances. He did what he had to do. But for some guy to dress like that, talk like that, to give this perception because he thinks it's cool, that's just an out and out shame. That's an out and out shame. He took that great situation and made us look like idiots. Any thoughts on that?
First question, is his agent even Italian? I don't know.
I believe he had an Italian last name. Now, how much, this, that, and the other, who knows? But I believe he did. I'll give him that.
Yeah. It's still wild to see that and to see him trying to pull that off for fame when he should be focused on his client.
You think that makes us look bad? Let me ask you this. Do you think he was with this wardrobe, was trying to achieve that look?
Yeah, I would agree that. Because it's like to a T of the stereotyped wardrobe of an Italian gangster.
From decades ago, mind you.
Right, right.
Decades and decades and decades and well before you girls were born. Yeah. How about the others? Any thoughts on it? I mean, am I making too much of it? And mind you, please, you don't have to agree with me. We're talking, be honest.
I think people do buy into the stereotype a lot, like just people in general, Italians and non-Italians. I feel like even like people who are Italian will look at stereotypes and believe them themselves sometimes. And to a point, the stereotypes is just going along with what everybody else is doing. But then there's also the degree that stereotypes are sometimes around you so much that you start to believe them yourself even. And I feel like that's true for Italians and non-Italians. We're surrounded by a world of stereotypes for all cultures. And when you're surrounded by that all the time, I feel like sometimes you start to believe or see some of those things yourselves. So I took social psychology last semester, and there's this phenomenon where if you are exposed to things a lot, they will become like an actual belief in your own head. And I feel like that happens far too often.
Yeah. And I will also add something interesting to think about, too, is, right, like we're all saying that, you know, gangsters and mafias, right, stereotype. But something to think about is that it's, you know, like it's a serious thing. Like it was something that was like really bad. Like it was really part of our history. And like Italians take that really seriously. Like it's not something that, you know, I find funny. I think once in Italy we joked, you know, about the mafia, and our relatives were like, don't talk about that stuff. Like it's really, it's not funny. So I do think that, you know, hearing that here and then seeing people make a joke of it, it's like, well, you know, it's something serious. Like, why are you making us look bad? Like, it's just something that's for me at least, I get irritated just because, you know, I don't want people to look at me and think, ah, you know, that's so funny. And then like my family in Italy, they say, well, this is why we don't like Americans, like, because they make these kind of jokes. It's like, it's just really frustrating, at least on my end. I don't know if anyone else would agree.
No, I definitely agree with that. It's frustrating because it's different when it's you and your own culture, and like you're seeing that from other people who aren't even a part of your culture. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. It is very frustrating to see that and to see people continue that look and style, and when it's not even something to be joking about.
Yeah, it's like the glorification of, you know, like the glorification of criminals. And, you know, that's not something that anyone wants to be known for. So here we are.
And it's unfortunate because, okay, first of all, we're all intelligent people. Every group has criminals. Every group has nice crime. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Like, what do you think? It's just us? Just us. Read the paper, watch the news.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, in the United States, it's got nothing to do with us. Nothing. So I, you know, on a slow news day, they'll throw in an article on the front page of, you know, a guy from 1971. It's ridiculous. But that's the thing, like, for some reason, you know, like, I don't know if a few girls watch or you're too young, like Jersey Shore. I mean, this kind of stuff. And you know, the funny thing is about that show, half of them weren't even Italian. Literally, yep. Not Italian. But because they're in Jersey, they talk like idiots. And, you know, they go clubbing. I don't know. We're like supposed to assume they're Italian. For some reason, Italian criminals and Italian buffoons are, what's the word I want to say? I don't want to sound bad, but like, it is more, it's
kind of like the image.
It's more entertaining because that's why Hollywood continues to make this stuff, because for some reason, our people, it's what other people like watching. You know, in what way, I don't know. We are the most glamorous at it, and that's nothing to brag about, but for some reason, they keep putting this stuff out, and they continue to put it out, and they continue to put it out. Now, how do we fight that? I got a little idea. Okay, so you got all these movies, Hollywood. We can't control Hollywood. What we can control is ourselves. So we, as a community, when I say community, I mean the United States, we need to make and produce more positive and real films, short films, anything like that. There's characters that we should be making films about. There's real people, you know, A.P. Giannini, who, you know, was responsible for modern banking. That's a movie. There's plenty more. The first woman governor elected in the United States of America, Ella Grasso, Italian-American. There's a million of them, but we need to do that. And you say, well, how do we do it? Well, we, the Italian community in the United States, does have lots of money, lots of power, lots of connections. We have filmmakers, we have actors, we have producers, we have directors, and we have money. So then I sit back and I go, I don't get it. If we have all these things, we possess all these things, we need to make our own things, because Hollywood is never going to do that. They make too much money off of us looking like idiots. So if that's the case, wisen up and let's start doing that. Let's start making these things, putting it out there, because that's the problem. It's not out there. So when you ask, you know, little Johnny that lives in anywhere, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, all he sees is criminals and buffoons. And he just thinks that's us. And like I said earlier, it couldn't be farther from the truth. So, I mean, that is one way of doing it, okay? You know, we tend to like, seems like our whole country, we do the same things. You know, we have Italian Heritage Night at a baseball game. So we either at a, you know, at a Sox game or a Hawks game. Okay, I mean, it's nice, but at the end of the day, you know, I went there, I bought the ticket, and I got a hat. really not going to change a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know what it is with me, the older I get, time is of the essence. When you're young, God bless you. You got tons of time. When you start to get a little older, you start looking at things like, wow, we cannot afford to waste time. And not that that's a waste of time. I know I may come across badly, but my heart is in the right place. And I'm just speaking the truth. We take time, we take effort, and we take money to put together these type of evenings. And at the end of it, we got a hat and they put on the big jumbotron. Hey, Italian Heritage Night. Okay, great. You know what I mean? We need to put more positive stuff out. We need to educate better. One of my things, really, really, really in love with it is the Jewish people have a thing called Birthright Israel. Anybody familiar with this? Ava, yes. You're shaking your head. How are you familiar with that?
Yes, I have a lot of Jewish friends that have gone to Israel for free because it is their birthright to go visit their country.
Was it a good experience?
Yes, they loved it. Every single one of them. I have about like 5 friends I know who have done that, and they loved it. They had so much fun. They met people. They got to, you know, see their country. And it's like wild to think that like other cultures do that. And that's a thing. And I've never heard of that. I don't know if that's even accessible for us. And it's unfortunate for those Italian Americans who, you know, can't afford to go to Italy because it's expensive and will never maybe see their country, their home motherland. Like it's wild.
Okay. So when I came aware of it, I was just like, wow. Like you said, I couldn't believe this. I sent an email. Shockingly, it did not get thrown away, and they responded to me. And I said, you know, I'm an Italian American in Chicago. I just think it's great. I'd like to learn more. Never thought they'd answer me. They not only answered me, they offered me a Zoom meeting with this gentleman. And after an hour and 10 minutes, I had to say, okay, because I felt bad, because he had nothing to gain and I had everything to gain. Put it this way, unfortunately, if I would have sent that email to an Italian group, they would have ignored me. Okay. Which is sad. But so the gist of it is Jewish men, wealthy, wealthy men had this idea to send young, like 18 to 26 year olds, maybe 25, to Israel. So they went around, pitched the idea. Nobody was interested. So what they did was they put their money where their mouth is. They each put up 10 million bucks and they did it. Now, 25 years later, they have sent over 750,000 young Jewish Americans. It might be in Canada as well. I don't know for sure with that. I don't think it's just in America, to Israel. It's a short trip, 12 days or something like that. I think all they pay is like the application fee. You do have to have certain qualifications and all that. But I heard this. I mean, I'm sorry, you can go to the Hawks game and get your hat, but we're not getting nowhere with that, okay? This would be a tremendous thing to do. Now, I know that the National Italian American Foundation was sending 12 college kids. Now I think it's 24. Really? Really? 750,000? Our problem is we're very obsessed with galas and pictures for our magazines and newspapers and famous people. And we've lost sight of what's really important. And to me, all these people that dedicate so much time to Italian America and being Italian American, don't we want the best for it? Don't we want to offer the best for our young Italian Americans to learn about their real culture? Okay. So what happens when you send somebody there? Well, they had statistics. It was like huge number, changed their lives, changed them ethnically. It's without a doubt, you send a young person to Italy, Maybe somebody come back and go, eh, you know, whatever. That's fine. It's not for everybody. I can guarantee you the overall majority are going to love it. They're going to buy into it. They're going to become better Italian Americans. They're going to become more involved in Italian America. It's an investment in, look at Italian America like a business. Well, your business, you have to reinvest in it. Okay. That's an investment in Italian America that would pay dividends over and over and over. So that is one little pipe dream for myself. Personally, I don't have the $10 million it takes to start it or the million or any of it, but it wouldn't take a lot to start that. And sending the person, the young person to Italy is like a cultural, it's like taking cultural steroids, okay? You cannot compare going to Italy to walking in, I don't care what fest you're in, Sant'Antonio's, Santa Fara, Santa Maria, it's all great. And I encourage, especially the religious ones, to do it. I don't mean to be talking bad like that, but any Italian fest and having your sausage sandwich, it's nothing compared to this. And you're right, not everybody can go. This would be an opportunity, okay? I always tell every Italian American, you gotta visit Italy once. Now, preferably they go when they're younger, because then, you know, they can grow with it if it, you know, gets into them. But even if they're old, go once. Go where the family's from, go see Rome. So I would hope as a group, as a community, we would look to do this. I don't see us doing it really. I'm hoping to win the lottery or find that really wealthy person that says, oh, you're not crazy. So I'll keep trying, but I do believe that, that would make a major effect, on our youth and going forward, because you got to remember this. The majority of the immigration, it doesn't take place anymore. People don't come in major numbers from Italy anymore. They come, believe me, they're here. It's a different kind of thing. It's less. And, you know, as the years have gone by, we get less in touch with our real culture and with Italy. So, you know, in 2024 and going forward, we have to make a conscious effort to do things to create this buzz. I'm also a big fan of learning the language and trying it. Not that you got to be a scholar. I'm not a scholar, but try to learn, try to know a little bit. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful language. It's incredible. Nicole backed me up big time. I know that. It's a beautiful sound, and it's part of your people, and it's part of everything you are in your blood. So, you know, I'm all for the language and the culture, language and culture. So, any thoughts, anymore, anything anyone would like to say? I've talked too much.
Yeah. I had never heard of, this going over, to Israel.
Yes.
So it was very, very interesting. But you were kind of talking about the young Italian Americans. I would love to take my papa, who's 82 years old. He has never been to Italy. Mm. His parents came over from Italy, and they immediately assimilated into Chicago. So he doesn't know how to speak the language. He doesn't know, you know, him and his 7 siblings don't really know anything about their Italian heritage, other than the fact that they're Italian Americans and they lived on Taylor Street, but nothing connected to Italy. So that would be something I would love to do.
Would he like to go? Have you talked about it with him? And would he like to make this trip? Can he physically make the trip?
Yes, he does. Like, I think he golfs 18 holes 3 times a week. So he's okay.
Well, if you could swing it, here's my advice. Don't go. Go off season. A few reasons. Number one, he ain't going to the beach. Right? He does not need 100 degree weather. He doesn't need 10 million tourists. It's a different trip. Go off season, less people, weather's better, less confusion, less chaos, and the flight is extremely cheaper. I mean, extremely. So go, you know, November, December, January, February, Italy don't have the weathers we have in Chicago, believe the winters we have in Chicago. So go then. And like I said earlier, you could take them 9 days, 10 days. I mean, I hope you go for a month, but if you can only go 9-10 days, do it, believe me. And go where his family came from and go to Rome. Go to Rome, because Rome's incredible. And I mean, if you're a Catholic, you get to be able to go to Rome, you got to go to the Vatican. It's just an incredible thing. So yeah, definitely try. It really will be worth it. It's you know, Italy, it's like a magical place. It is just, they have their problems. They have lots of problems. But the physical part of the country, it's incredible. It is beautiful. God created this country. And the culture aspect is amazing. And the history aspect and just everything. I mean, you just look around. I mean, an abandoned town, an abandoned village has still got beauty to it, okay? It's just an incredible, incredible place. Their government's all screwed up. They got a million problems too, but there is no utopia in this world. So if you get that chance, please do it. Please do it. Anybody else like to say anything? Good, bad, ugly?
I have a question for you, actually.
Please.
What do you think is the biggest thing that's making going to Italy the best experience for developing as an Italian American? Is it the sightseeing, the food, the people? What is it that's so different from what we can find in America?
Well, I think it's just everything. I really do. I mean, you know, what do we try to do here? And like I, you know, to bring up the Italian fest thing, you're going to go. It's a fest. It's, you know, you're going to buy a sandwich. You're going to eat a sandwich. I mean, going to Italy, even if you don't speak one word, just being there, seeing it, hearing about what you're seeing, you know, from the historical part to the religious, the spiritual part. Like, you don't even go to church here. You go out there, you're just, these churches, they blow you away. There's something out there that just brings it out in you. And just seeing it and stepping on that land. First time I went, I was 19, and I will never forget that experience and standing on this corner in Rome. Now, mind you, this was 1986. We didn't have something then that is everyday life now. There was no internet. There was no computers. There were no cell phones. So Italy in 1986 for a guy like me was a movie or a magazine. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I know it's hard for you to understand that, but it really, you know, nowadays I can Google map and I can see my house in Italy and I could, it's a different world. But then it really was like, I was standing there like, this is a dream. This is a dream. I'm standing in Rome and I will never forget that feeling. And then the when I went the first time to my mom's side, when I went the first time to my dad's side, like seeing that town and seeing like the look of the ocean front, what do you call it? The lungomare, what do you call that? The
lungomare. I think lungomare is good.
Yeah, the lungomare, you know, with the water and the buildings and the cathedral. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh my God, that's the pictures of my mom's cousins where they got married. And was like, you know, just so many emotions that, you know, it really was amazing. So, I mean, you go to Italy and you're going to go to Italy. I know you're going to go to Italy. It really will be difficult not to have some effect. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to be like me or you're going to be crawling out of your skin with joy. I don't mean that, but it does have this, like, this kind of an effect. It really does. It has this really good effect because it's such an amazing place. And we come from such and that's the thing. I wish I had 10 million followers and I had all that, not for me, for the message, because we come from such great stock, such great inventions, contributions. We have given this world so much. And it really saddens me when we're reduced to this crap, okay? And it shouldn't be that way. And Italy, that's why I say, like, sometimes, you know, I hadn't gone to Italy for 25 years because of work. My wife took our kids 3 times. I think both my kids have been to Italy 4 times apiece. They're lucky kids. And I was a lucky guy because I got to go often, 19, 20, 21. I didn't go for 25 years. I went last year for the first time after 25 years. And I was a little bit like, you know, oh, I hope, you know, and I always loved it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder, you know, I'm different. Maybe Italy's different. You know, you never know. Forget about it. I would like to stay for 6 months next time. I just loved it. And it's just, and Italy itself and what is there and the culture that is there. And then what way we're going here. And I'm not trying to be like, you know, a downer and people are going to say, oh my God, this guy talks, you know, I'm just kind of, I talk real. I talk real because I'm out there. I live it, eat it, breathe it every day of my life. And I know it. I'm out there. I talk to people. I see it. And we're going the wrong way. And it's a shame because that, like I said, that distance between Italy and Italian Americans, that gap is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We got to do something to bring it a little closer. So, you know, Explore Italy would do that. That dream, okay? These films would help. More cultural classes, language classes. You know, we got money, these groups. Charity's great. A charity begins at home. That's an old expression. I don't know if any of you girls heard that. Charity begins at home. How about sponsoring classes for, you know, young people, young kids, language and cultural classes? We got to do more of that if we want that end result to be more aware, more knowledgeable culturally. And I think we should. I mean, I would think we would. You know, it's great to be proud to be Italian American. We know why we're really proud. And I got to hear something more than Sunday dinner. I just, you know, I'm pretty sure every group has dinner on Sunday. I haven't polled them all, but I'm pretty sure they do. So we got to get a little beyond that. Now I'm all for all that stuff. And it's a big part of us. And we're the best at that too. Okay. And it's great. And in my family, we still do those things. We make wine. We make it from grapes. We take a grape, we smash it, we make wine with it, okay? And we jar tomatoes. We do that. And I want to always do that. It's great. But there is more. You know what I mean? So that's my message today. So, wow, we've gone a long time. any parting messages or thoughts or comments?
Well, just want to say that I agree 100% with everything that you were saying. And it is such a shame that today we don't get to capture the beauty and essence of what we came from and what we have in Italy. I also went there recently and just, it's breathtaking. It's just mind-boggling how people built all of these cathedrals, these beautiful architectural buildings. And like,
how'd they do it? How'd they do it? Yeah. There were no Bobcats. There were no trucks. There was no problem. How'd they do it? These were incredibly intelligent geniuses.
Mm-hmm. Hard work and dedication.
Hard work and dedication. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. A very well said. And we've done a lot here as well too. It's not just Italy. We Italian Americans have accomplished a lot here. A lot of great things as well. I'm going to give myself just a little plug because I never do. So I have been doing these short videos. They're about a minute. They're called Italian American Moments. Okay. And I've done, I think, 130 of them. And they're just about inventions, accomplishments, stories, some things in Italy, most things here, just all kinds of things, good things. I would hope they would, you know, get out there and be used more. That's the goal of them. It's nothing personal. Like I always say, it's not about me. Doesn't matter me. It's about the content. So, yes. Ladies, thank you, first of all, for listening to me. Just I don't think you knew what you were signing up for. let me say this. I'm glad we did this. Because at first, you know, I thought we would just talk about the regular things. And then the last couple of days, I was thinking, this is an opportunity. Let's make the most of this. So I thank you all for allowing me to go down this path with the interview to talk about some important issues that really need to be talked about and they're really not talked about much, like, ever. So thank you for that, and keep being proud and keep being a representative, because believe it or not, you all, myself, we're representatives of our people, okay? We're representatives. So we want to do good. We want to show good, because if we don't, then people just buy into it all and they throw us in that large group.
Yeah, very true.
Thank you all for this great discussion. Best of luck, your Columbus Parade, and going on, and your studies and your work and your personal lives. And you're going to go to Italy. The one who didn't go to Italy, you're going to go to Italy, and you're going to see Grandpa to Italy, and the others keep going back. So, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Really great conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Such an honor to be here. Thank you.